Good morning. Most of you know the works of C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien. There's a book published a few years ago called A Hobbit, A Wardrobe, and A Great War. It was by Joseph LeConte. Here's what the author is communicating in his book. The First World War laid waste to a continent and permanently altered the political and religious landscape of the West. For a generation of men and women, it brought the end of innocence and the end of faith. Yet, for J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, the Great War deepened their spiritual quest. Both men served as soldiers on the Western Front, survived the trenches, and used the experience of that conflict to ignite their Christian imagination. Had there been no Great War, there would have been no Hobbit, no Lord of the Rings, no Narnia, and perhaps no conversion to Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Unlike a generation of young writers who lost faith in the God of the Bible, Tolkien and Lewis produced epic stories infused with the themes of guilt and grace, sorrow and consolation, giving an unabashedly Christian vision of hope in a world tortured by doubt and disillusionment. The two writers created works that changed the course of literature and shaped the faith of millions. This book about these two men explores their work in light of the spiritual crisis sparked by the conflict. Psychologically speaking, in the healthcare profession, there's a well-established connection between attitude and health. And there is evidence that attitude can be changed through approaches such as cognitive therapy. There are varied studies trying to determine the link between a positive outlook and health. Though there is often a connection between attitude and health, no one is suggesting that people with chronic fatigue symptom and fibromyalgia and other similar diseases should feel responsible for making themselves sick. We don't actually know what causes people to become sick with these illnesses. However, how we think can affect how we feel. In Proverbs 13:12, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." That's Proverbs 13:12. Examining the science behind this phenomenon, in an article from the Brain Bulletin, Terry Small writes that hope is important for your brain. Neuroscientists are investigating the science of hope. It turns out that a feeling of hopefulness changes your brain. Your brain pumps chemicals when experiencing the sensation of hope. These chemicals can block pain and they can accelerate healing. Hope, which involves belief and expectation, causes the brain to release neurochemicals called endorphins and acephalins, which actually mimic the effects of morphine. The result is that the brain can overcome hurdles and move to a place of recovery. In scientific terms, hope and recovery are not causally connected, but they are correlated. Terry then states that, "I believe hope is as vital to the brain as the oxygen we breathe." Think about daily applications of how hope works in our lives. When you have a job where you know there are opportunities of advancement, you are more likely to stay in that job. When your job quotas are obtainable, you pursue them with more energy. When you have a health diagnosis with a workable plan for a cure, you face each day with more courage than someone with a less positive outlook. Even the simple joys of our schedule can give us hope when we look forward to, say, spending time with family, either at holidays like we have coming up, or during the summer, or for special events in your own family. We bribe our children all the time with, "If you behave at the store, or if you get good grades, or if you clean up your room," we will go out for ice cream or go to the zoo or get some special treat, a new game, whatever you bribe your children with. I don't know. I didn't get to do that. These strategies give our children something to hope for and can bring about a positive outcome in their lives, or at least a positive outcome for their behavior for that particular day. We have just begun the church calendar season of Advent. The excitement of the coming Messiah, the hope of our salvation. 2 days ago, in our church, we lit the first candle of Advent, called the Hope or Prophet's Candle. This represents how the prophets waited with hope for the coming Messiah. However, there are places in our world that have yet to hear of the advent of our Savior's birth. And there are people in your own circle who have not experienced the hope of Christ due to brokenness in their own lives, whether it's from pain, suffering, loss, or some other sorrow. As I pondered what I would share with you this morning, I realized I was actually at a loss about how to clarify this aspect of our faith. To be completely honest, I don't have a clear answer for you. The question of why we place our hope in God is pretty vast. I mean, when you say, I hope in this, someone else can say, why? So sometimes we are given answers also that don't satisfy or bring us comfort. There's so many well-meaning people and authors who give us answers during a difficult and anxious season in our lives, but their words sound off or even wrong, unable to help us face the demons that we're battling. Of course, when we're doing well, or we're over the worst of our trauma, we can agree that we see how God has been with us or worked in our lives. But that might not be where we're living right now. I can attest that I'm the first person to focus on the joy and delight of knowing God. My personality is such that I'm a positive, upbeat kind of, my husband calls it the half-full person, and he's the half-empty. So we kind of compliment one another. I kind of encourage him and try to keep him upbeat. But there are people in this room that will tell you that I have been one of those people that have tried to share words of encouragement that fell flat because they were not in a place to hear them. And they have been kind enough not to tell me. The hope we cling to in these days is not something we take lightly or carelessly. It's also not an empty promise. So I realized I needed to examine the promises of God, and maybe the passages that I share with you can encourage your understanding of what the message the prophets were repeatedly sharing. Who is this God that the prophets were continually exhorting the Israelites to return to? Who or what do we place our hope in? I know we hope the Patriots will win, or at least most of you do. And we hope that we can pay our monthly bills. We hope for love, good health, long life, financial security, fulfillment, peace. We hope our loved ones will be well and our relationships with them will thrive. We often hope for new beginnings, too. Are these examples the same as placing our hope in God? I think not. Our hope isn't in things, in ourselves, or other fallible human beings. They will surely disappoint. It's in the Creator of the universe, the Savior of our hearts. So how is this different? And as we look in our lesson for today, why is it important in Amos 9, in verse 11, that God says he will restore David's fallen shelter? Well, if you remember, God promised his salvation would come through the line of David. So he has to keep that line intact. Read Matthew 1, the genealogy. We all know that the line is important. Then there's Amos 9:12. The next verse, it says, "And all the nations that bear my name, Remember, our presence here in this room today is based on the fact that we're considered the nations. Unless, of course, you have Jewish heritage, we are the nations. I humbly believe that we place our hope in God because of the promises God has made, and of course, his unique actions toward us. The God of Scriptures is a seeking God. We're not self-flagellating ourselves, trying to get his attention. We're not doing things to become something he will notice. He's noticed us and reached into our lives. In our scriptures, the early days of these promises, God called Abraham out of Ur, and he promised to bless him and make him a great nation, and through his descendants, bless everyone. Now, I've included a list, and you're wondering why that's on your table, because it doesn't seem to have anything much on it except a list. And those lists are something I found as a resource on the internet, some of the key promises. And the first one there is the promise of the Davidic covenant in Abraham promising to bring about our salvation through that line. And then in the very end, it says there are more promises. These are just a smattering, a few little ones. So there's nothing there to follow along with. That's just there for you to have and to hold. So I also, if there's another list, if you remember the Hebrews chapter 11, that's the, we call it the faith chapter, where it's listed all the reasons why these people had faith in God and how they lived their lives before God. There are even books you can purchase with all the promises of God in them. I mean, so if there's a book out there, you know this isn't even a tenth of what's in there in the scriptures of God's promises. Paul sums it up nicely in his opening remarks to Titus. If you want to turn there together, you can. Titus is a short little book, and I'm going to give a little plug. My husband and Doug are going to be teaching that in the short term in January on the book, little book of Titus. So it'll be a fun little lesson. But he writes to the believers, in order to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. So this is exactly what we're talking about, the promises of God for our eternal life he has prepared for us. We cling to this promise, place our hope in a God who has centuries of fulfilled promises. It's not just one thing. I mean, we get our hopes up when someone promises us one thing. God has centuries of promises that he has given to us. God's touch in our lives brings about new hope for so many reasons. He transforms our lives, our relationships. We trust in his power to help us overcome challenges we face, whether it's health or any number of things, finances. We can trust in his power to help us overcome these challenges. He opens our hearts to hear the truth of his words. When the Spirit indwells us, when we read his scriptures, it means so much more. You've heard the stories of people who said, I've read the Bible, it doesn't mean anything. And then Christ's power indwells them and they go, ah, how I get it. And these scriptures included all the promises that we have only touched on. The fact is, he's always reaching out to us. And sometimes we're too busy to listen, too angry to believe, or any other excuse or reason that we push God aside as we try to live life without taking his hand to lead us. We hope in Christ because of what he accomplished. His arrival as a baby in the manger, his life and calling of the disciples to teach his Father's purposes, his ultimate sacrifice, showing his complete love for us by dying on the cross for our sins. All done for us. We cannot hope to earn his love or do anything to earn acceptance into his kingdom. But we are exhorted to live for him. Why? Well, there are too many reasons. That would be a whole nother morning. But let's look at Amos's reasons. If you remember back, I think the bulk of it is in chapter 5. Amos exhorts the Israelites that their call to be his people means that real relationship with him will transform their relationships. So throughout the book of Amos, those who are wealthy are called to account for the ways they neglect the poor and ignore injustice. It demonstrates not only to God this behavior, but to the world around them that they serve the living God. So they're not called to behavior to earn God's acceptance. They're called to the proper behavior to reveal God's essence and who he is. We should want to live our lives so that others will want what we have. There are hundreds of examples of people who live lives of hope and are beacons to others, to the love of God. But I'm going to share only one with you this morning, Johnny Erickson Tada. She not only persevered after becoming a quadriplegic, but she's also overcome breast cancer. She shares with many in her blogs, if you follow her at all, how she has many days of struggling and losing her focus. But then she turns her back to her hope that her eternal body that she will have someday when she's with God. But the struggle of her everyday life in her body that she can't even move on her own is something that she's willing to face for the hope of her future with him. Who are examples of hope in your life? Who are you an example of hope to? The late Rabbi Hugo Grin told how his father secretly lit the Hanukkah lights in the concentration camp in 1944 using margarine. Now, when Grin protested to his father about wasting food, his father replied that while they had often lived for 3 weeks without food, you cannot possibly live for 3 minutes without hope. Choose to hope. Remember, like all attitudes, hope is a choice. Even though some personalities, like myself, find it easier to hope. And also, if our life is less stressful than others, we find it easier to hope. But when we have a God who has demonstrated his love for us over and over again throughout history and even in our own personal histories, we are placing our hope in someone wonderful and worthy of our faith. So if this is something God is calling you to do or is nudging you to be, speak with your leader or your shepherd or speak with any one of the teachers who have been up here, because we want to encourage you as you pursue that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your promises to us, especially as we enter this Christmas season. We rejoice in the coming of your Son to earth, the promised Messiah. He has called us to follow him and find our hope in him, both in this world and the next. We pray as we enter the busyness of this season that we don't lose our belief in the joy of our faith. For those who are without God in this world and without hope in the next, we pray the kindest prayer we can, that you would accompany them with restlessness until they find their rest in you. And for your children, we pray that we will live our lives full of hope as we cling to the promises you have provided. Amen. We have a list of announcements.